Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Sissies, we are in a state.
Is there a new flavor of Oreos?
No.
Oh, they finally started a gay men who can knit subreddit?
No! And if they did that subreddit, I would report it for being sad.
Well, what is it then? Some new Keira Knightley movie?
Close. Sissies, we are excited for Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump.
Now on Hulu. Oh yeah, it looks delish, and the guys are really hot.
It's not only about the hot men, Maddie. This is a high-class show, and Lisa Vanderpump is taking us across the pond. Sissies, in this gorgeous new show, you can join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
With really hot French guys?
No. Well, maybe. Stop distracting me. Sissies, meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. But don't get it twisted. The staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards as they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests.
True. And Lisa has a staff. Mixologists, chefs, housekeepers, event coordinators, and a chateau manager.
Who's really, really hot.
I knew you'd get there. But sissies, not everybody has what it takes.
Oh no, it gets messy. So get prepared, sissies, because Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality gate. Let's love.
Y'all, good morning, everyone.
Good morning. You know... it's going to be a show when you ask Poodle right before you press record, have you taken your CBD today?
And I said, roll tape, you bitch.
And that means no.
You know, I'm fine with how I am right now. I'm perfectly lovely, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and I'm ready to
lovely.
Go.
You know, it's interesting. You're going to be like my father when you're old. You're going to refuse to take medicine. You're going to refuse
home health. I take all
health.
Kinds of medicine.
You're gonna refuse everything because you're like him, where you feel like on sheer will alone you can do it.
I take medicine. I just don't want to. I'm fine with how I feel right now, and I don't want you to micromanage me, telling me to go take my crazy pills because what you're doing, and I don't like it.
Did you take those this morning?
Yes, those I took.
Good, because that's not me. That's Poodle.
That's non-negotiable. I need those.
Needs a little, and he calls them crazy pills, y'all, not me.
Oh, yeah, I call them that.
Yeah. So, y'all, welcome.
I think you've called them that, though.
You called them that first, because I lived with you. You would say, I got to go get my crazy pills.
And I don't say, talk okay. That way.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Yo, this is reality gaze. I moved my setup in my apartment a little bit, so
if you're watching
an
intimate portrait,
weird.
You're seeing another window into Poodle's home.
I still need art for this part of my wall. But yeah, you're seeing another angle because we're recording in the morning and my morning light is too much behind me. So I looked like I was in a cave.
kind of like how you look right now.
Yes, and now he looks beautifully shot with no wrinkles or circles under his eyes at all. And I look like I'm in a bunker in Oklahoma dodging a tornado.
Pretty much. That's accurate.
Yeah. So that's what we're dealing with today.
I sound a little echoey, but oh well. Fuck it.
You actually sound better to me than you do in the other.
Interesting.
Because that desk, no one gives a shit. Y'all.
Yo, you know, I'm working on perfectionist impulses.
Yeah, you
I'm
really.
I'm doing my best.
Let it go. Let it be. Let it be.
You know what? As long as you don't tell me to let it go, I'll be fine. And let me tell that. Because you're not the boss of me.
No, but I'm in a business partner. Let it go, bitch.
You have to. No, I don't like being told what to do.
Can we make shirts that say, let it go, ho? I like that.
I think that would get in trouble for licensing.
Oh, let it go, ho. So anyway, y'all, this is part two.
Part two of Let's Talk About Sex, Baby.
We really needed time to process Mike and Natalie.
I still don't know if I figured out what happened.
I think I had a dream about it last night, and I don't remember it fully, and I don't want to.
I still don't know exactly what was responsible for that blow up. Do you just want to talk about that? Do you just want to get into it?
Now you're changing the order of the way we talked about doing it.
No, you mentioned it first, so I feel like we might as well just discuss it.
Fine, I guess I'll roll with it.
You know, I'm sorry. You had an elaborate plan.
I'm a little crabby this morning. Because
My
father stopped at the toilet, and I had to use this long metal
today's
thing
home help
and crank it to so that way the shit could get out, because he's been clogged up for 2 days, and we took a Miralax, and y'all, it's coming, and I don't need another river of shit in the bed.
And I just asked, could you tell him to give a flush halfway through? And I guess his father didn't think of that.
I just know now, last night, it started last night around 12:30.
I'm not comfortable with talking about your father's shit.
And I got up and I could just smell it. And then went, here we go tonight. Here we go.
It's disturbing.
Anyway, we think we're on the other side. So yes, let's talk about Mac and Natalie.
Any announcements before we do that?
We just want to remind y'all, F-Boy Island's coming on HBO Max. We're going to be covering that. That's dropping.
It's on our regular feed.
Mm-hmm. And we're also going to be talking about don't forget Darcy and Stace is going strong on our regular feed. Ugh.
Y'all have expressed your overwhelming joy about that show being back. And it is...
glorious.
This season already has been paying dividends.
Oh, and we're one episode in. One episode in. Also, I want to mention that we're going to be doing Love is After the Altar of Love is Blind. That's coming up. That'll be on our $5 at the Patreon. And then we also have Sexy Beast, which we're going to, I don't know when.
I watched two of them.
Whew. Is it bad or is it good bad?
It's not good bad.
It's just bad. Is this going to be like a
labor
of love?
We're going to figure out the quickest way we can put this out so it will be less painful for not just us, but for also our listeners. Let's just say that.
Okay.
You may like it more than me. I had, as usual, problems with the storytelling and problems with the concept of the show. Actually, huge problems.
But you didn't have problems with someone dating in a dolphin face?
You know what? That is the least offensive part about the show, actually.
Whoa. Wow. Okay.
That is the only fun part about
the show. All right. Okay. Well.
As soon as you take the effects away, then it's just terribly boring people talking at one another about nothing. Sorry, not to oversell that show.
Wow. So we've got ourselves another labor of love, do we?
It's not that bad. The thing about it is, and I don't want to go into too much detail. It's what I talk about all the time. It's what you talk about when I talk about what matters with storytelling, what matters with acting, stakes. And the stakes for this show are medium at best. And it just doesn't work.
I agree with that.
It's fun sometimes because you see them dressed, but... I've got a lot to say.
I must be getting hungry because you said steaks, and I just thought of Anna Marcel sitting in front of that Omaha steak sign and wanting steak.
Steak?
Steak?
Steak, Anna?
Steak, Anna. Okay.
Okay, Marcel. Okay, Marcel, we're going to have steak.
Okay, Marcel.
Marcel, can I cut your steak, Marcel?
I'd love seeing them on 90 Day Diaries. We'll finish that sometime. Let's jump in.
Let's just
okay,
do it.
Okay, so Mike and Natalie, let's talk about it then. Woo.
So we've kind of been going through, just a little perspective, you guys. We've been going through, even since last season, we were like, are they just mugging for the cameras at this point? Are either of them even in it?
Yes.
Are they doing it just to, or the other option, are they so awful to one another that they can't be without one another? And how do they actually love one another? Do they even know what love is supposed to be?
I want to know what love
exactly.
is.
Why don't you just show me? Ooh. Whenever I do falsetto, I have to do my hands like my nephew. It's like this.
Wait, which That's nephew applause. Does which
That's
nephew
the youngest
does
this one? Because for some reason applause is it's for a
I was gonna say
sign language.
He's gay if he's just walking around going like this.
I don't know. I don't know if there's a lot of hope for him to be homosexual.
The fact
I think
that
he
you
might
and I have
solidly.
Not had a homosexual nephew or niece is sad.
It's shocking. I will agree. I only had three, so there's not a huge chance. If there were four or five, there'd be a bigger chance.
I'm hoping one of my nephews will have a kid and they're gay.
I think I got all the gay stuff in my immediate family.
Maybe that's it. Maybe we took all of it.
It was siphoned into me. I was.
So you bring up, we've talked about this a lot. And to me, I walk away from this segment of Mike and Natalie. This was all real.
Yeah. I'm starting it was real to the extent that this relationship is so fucking broken that's why I kept saying.
I think broken's almost a nice word. It's like, no, but it is
annihilated.
It is dysfunctionally toxic.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
So I think, and we're going to talk about where we wound up at the end of this, but Natalie, this is after Christmas, by the way, I believe.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she's having a coffee with Juliana, mm-hmm. Or Julia, or who even knows? They
it's Juliana.
Use it but they use it interchangeably.
Can we just call her headband?
she's sticking with that headband, y'all.
I thought it was like a cultural thing, and I was like, okay. She always wears a headband, and it flattens her hair and makes her hair look just. It y'all, she's a pretty woman,
yeah,
but not with that headband. It kind of makes her look like, kind of like Kathy from the comic book strip.
She is kind of the Russian Kathy.
Yeah,
ick, chocolate. it is kind of. I think she's in love with Natalie. I said that there was just like a little bit of a look, not fully in love, but I think she wants to kind of fix her problem. I don't know. It's a little single white female vibes for me. So they're talking about, and Juliana's got a lovely treble clef scarf on. That means she's a musician, y'all.
She is.
Boy, how many ties and scarves and bow ties were we given because someone said, they're a musician, they'll love this.
I mean,
I had so many piano ties.
I probably didn't get as many as you.
Oh,
I
my
finally
God.
I only wore the Phantom of the Opera tie that my Aunt Karen painted. I always got compliments on it at district. Where'd you get your tie? My Aunt Karen painted. It's an original one.
That's
one
of
a kind.
The gayest thing I've ever heard. I've said that a lot, but that is the gayest thing I've ever heard. Phantom of the Opera tie.
I don't think I ever would have thrown it away. I don't know if it's in my house. Maybe my mother has it. I can't imagine me ever throwing that away.
And, but you can't wear it again because it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, she made my cousin, her son, David, one, but mine was different because mine had the Phantom mask and then the rose. than the rose.
Didn't help. Wow. I'm trying to figure out in what world that would be wearable. It's like when you go to like an amusement park and they have like a formal blazer with Yosemite Sam on the back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what occasion would that be for?
Well, what
that's not for black tie.
It'd be like now, let's say you're in middle school and your aunt painted you like painted like a Dear Evan Hansen tie.
I'm not into that show.
But no, imagine if you're a teenager going to choir concerts and you like musical theater. They all love Dear Evan Hansen.
Too esoteric. I would not wear it on my body.
But you wouldn't in high school because...
No, I wouldn't.
So maybe like your aunt painted like some of the poems of Paul Verlaine on a tie.
Verlaine.
That's what I said. You would wear that on a tie.
That I would because it would have some type of abstraction to it, probably.
But you would wear it because you wanted to be different.
And then, yes, I would wear it. And I wore it because
I wanted to be different.
Oh, wow. I would just think it was just basic. But that's me.
But that
so people would say, is that Phantom of the Opera?
I don't know. You say that, but I bet.
I bought my mom a Phantom of the Opera sweatshirt, and she loved it.
I had that too, that glowed in the dark.
I think it was, yeah.
Yes, it glowed in the dark. Wore it all
you
the time.
You just said glued. Glue in the dark.
It glowed in the
dark. Glowed in the dark. I like that past participle.
It will. also, it's kind of like you got to think about, I disagree with you. I think if you were in high school right now, or maybe even middle school, this was middle school that I'd wear it, not high school, actually.
I don't like vanity ties. I don't
love them. But when you were a kid, I think you're thinking too much as a 40-year-old adult and not as your 14-year-old self, 13-year-old self.
Why you gotta bring a number into it?
I'm just saying that if you were 13 years old and you heard You Will Be Found, you know what?
I think you're right. I think I probably would have one of those.
Yeah.
But... Just the idea now of Phantom. I had a Phantom book and I knew all of it, but I don't know if I would put it on my clothes. I'm super classic like that.
Think of Jackie O, and then I think of style. I think of poodle. Yeah, with holes in your t-shirt.
Very classic style.
Cargo shorts with pockets that just where one of his balls pops out. Yeah, that's the same.
We need to move on. God. So she is basically explaining that she's telling Juliana that she left Juliana's playing devil's advocate. She's like, why don't you leave? I left that night before the surgery because the doctors were telling me I needed to be calm. And I would not be calm if we were fighting. Again, the level of drama and histrionics that Natalie's life runs on in general is and the way her brain works in logic is just really bizarre.
It's very she's again
it's a trauma response.
One eye blink away from lunacy.
So and then she says to Juliana, he tells me that I'm crazy, it's all in my head, gaslighting. I agree. In the last season we saw, I was kind of like, Natalie's just crazy. I don't think he's really gaslighting her. Now it's full on. That's the only way he knows how to manipulate her and to get her to apologize to him.
He has never validated anything she has said.
Ever. I feel sorry for any woman who's with him. Because I don't think he'd ever be reasonable with any partner.
You know,
I think he'd act the same way.
I did have sympathy for him in this a bit, but at the end of the day, I think being with Mike feels very alone.
Yeah.
He seems kind of a solitary person, and I bet he wants you to kind of fit into his life.
He'd be good with someone who is also like that. That is not Natalie. Who needs affection, who needs validation.
Who needs codependency.
Yeah. So there, she tells Juliana about his mom calling him a hooker. And we're still in Hookergate, y'all.
This is the fourth act of Hookergate. Golly, I wish they had video, or maybe they're saving it for the tell-all.
I'm sure there's video.
Sure. Where is this video? I need to see.
You're right. They're probably saving it
I think they're saving it for the tell-all.
I think that's really shitty, too. For people to just assume that Natalie's crazy and what was said, or when they do bring it at the end and we find out she didn't call her a hooker, then Natalie's shitty. So it's like both sides. It's terrible to do that to them in two ways.
It's as a viewer, I think it's terrible. As a producer, I would totally withhold it.
I don't know. It's just ethically wrong.
As a producer thing, it's a great thing to drop in a tell-all. I would totally do that.
I don't know. If I'm ever a producer, I'll probably be actually terrible.
Y'all, if I'm ever producing a reality show,
it's going to be awful.
I will manipulate the fuck out of your circumstances to get good ratings. Sorry. That's my job.
So
that's why I don't do it.
Juliana says, he's a mama's boy. Let go of the boob already. Like Michael.
Like,
and then
not Mike, Michael as in Michael.
Then Natalie goes on this strange, bizarre a metaphor about a big, beautiful elephant being tied to his mother, and all the elephant needed to do was break the rope. And
I got this metaphor. She just fucked it up. You've heard this before, though, right?
No, I've never heard it before.
It's really upsetting to talk to you. Your eyes are sparkling in the morning light, and I look horrible. Really stop posing for the intimate portrait, please.
Hello, audience. It's so good to see you today.
Oh, God. This is actually a great metaphor for Mike. She just kind of. So the metaphor is, and I think they actually do this, or they used to do this with circus elephants. When an elephant is a baby, they put a heavy chain around the elephant's foot and chain it up, and then it becomes, I understand.
Yeah.
So it becomes conditioned, so that way, because people wonder, how come you tie, like, an elephant when they're an adult, you just tie a simple rope around their leg, and they know not to move.
This makes me sick to my stomach, because I hate talking about this,
but
keep
going. That is the metaphor she is talking about, and it actually is a great metaphor, because she's right. Mike grew up with butter, and he feels like he is totally tied to his mother,
right,
and he can't break away. But she says now he is this big,
beautiful
hulking,
elephant,
strong man, and he can't break away from her, even though there's not this big chain tying them together.
Yeah, no,
it was great metaphor, and she completely pulled a Maddie and fucked it up.
She was like, "Then there's a needle, and there's a line." I was like, "What? What?"
It was.
And she was doing it with her big old blinky eyes. I was like, what's happening?
And then Juliana said, you are a woman with a capital W.
That's the thing. I feel like she likes her. I feel like she's got sapphic vibes.
Maybe.
So she is basically, she's like, I want to tell him, defend me. I am your woman.
I am your woman. So cut to Mike and Natalie are walking around the city. And it kind of, I wrote, but we're going to find out later on, it makes sense. I was like, why lately they're not really in Sequim a lot anymore. They're always in the city. I was like, why are they always
She's
in the city?
She's been staying there.
And so, but we aren't led on to that. We still think they are living together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Natsy's like, how was your day? And Mike says, very hectic, very hectic. Lots and lots to do today. Poodle. What's a hectic day for Mike?
You know what's a hectic day for him?
Mm-hmm.
Being on the phone most of the morning, and then someone staples something wrong. and they have to go and do it. And he goes, guess that's not going to work. So he probably had a couple of meetings. Mike sighed at least 3,500 times.
Oh, yes.
That day.
Yeah, yeah. Someone put the water on the community water thing, and it was a little bit crooked and leaking a little bit. He had to get someone to fix that.
Yes.
That kind of stuff.
I had to put my phone down because it was buzzing.
Well, good.
So I would say he had a hectic day, but she's basically all of a sudden she
She tries to talk to him while they're walking. She says, I want to talk about, we fight a lot and it's terrible. You shut me down and you say a lot of everything is in my imagination. And she brings up again, I'm mad at the mom the way you treat me. She doesn't even know me. And Mike says, again, gaslighting. What? How does she do? What does she do? Y'all, her mom's so, like Poodle said, she's barely passive aggressive. She's almost
straight up aggro.
And Mike even said then, he's like, why do you keep talking about this? Which again, not validating. And then that's kind of all we get of Mike and Natalie out in the wild of the city, because we get their testimonial confessional and the producer says, what do you think your mom said, Mike? And y'all, this is, get ready, because it all, suddenly the show entirely shifts to behind the scenes of Mike and Natalie. And if y'all, I'm going to tell you now,
was the realest thing we've seen in like two seasons.
If you haven't watched this and almost you just listened to
us, stop now.
I think you need to stop now.
You need to watch this part.
Go watch just that portion of the show.
It's when they're sitting there and he gets up off the couch.
It is fucking one of the most riveting things I've ever seen in reality TV.
And it was hard to watch him screaming at her. Really hard to watch.
It was hard to watch because she was shutting down. But so basically, the producer says, God, I would love to interview this producer.
Me too.
Oh my God. And said, what do you think mom said? Mike doesn't say anything. He won't give an answer to even the producer. And he kind of is like, and then looks at Natalie and says, maybe you should ask her.
Right. Which has been Butter's plan, because then Butter can be the blameless one and goes, and then Butter could say on national television what we've been waiting for her to say. And that's, anyway, y'all, that's what's going to happen here in just a second. Basically, let me just lay down a couple of points. So she's talking about his mom and how, what she said to her. And he says, stay right here. I'm going to go get a phone. I don't have a phone.
Well, Natalie even says, she's like, he says, Natalie finally is calling him out and saying, so it's in my head. It's in my head.
Right.
She's like, everyone's act like I don't know what I'm talking about. And then he gets up, and that's when he gets frustrated and he walks away. And she said, you're walking away. You're doing what you all. What's interesting about this is they're finally calling each other out on the behavior that they've never been talking about.
Right.
So she's saying,
we haven't seen this on camera at all.
At all. And she's saying, you're walking away. And he's going, he just goes, who'd you ask Natalie? Who'd you? And that's when she finally says, go get your phone and let's call your mother.
And, well, no, he said, I'm going to go get my phone. I'm going to go get his phone. So he goes and gets the phone, and Natalie's like, hi, Trish. And she goes, hi.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
Hi.
And Butter.
But here's the deal. Mike wants her to say, and she doesn't at first. She says, when did you call me a hooker? She doesn't say that. Instead, Natalie says, Trish, we haven't talked since I left Tulsa. And Butter says,
Butter's like, you got something on your mind, Natalie?
Trish, I want to make clear, please. What is your impression of me? And what do you make of me? And what made you feel that way?
Well, I don't think you treat Michael kindly at all.
Oh, and, really? Really?
He provides everything for you, Butter. And
you're like a child. You can tell that she thinks of her son as a child because she says, quote,
she does.
You're mean to him all the time.
You're just mean to my baby.
So this is telling me this is a low emotional IQ that it's just. Because again,
I never called you a hooker. I never said that. And now, y'all, now she's the gaslighter. She's gaslighting her,
well,
Natalie.
First of all, Mike starts going. He starts saying, "Ask her the question. Ask her the question. Ask
screaming
her the question."
Screaming off camera. Screaming.
And
they're tag teaming Natalie.
She says, "I've never called you anything close to a hooker."
And she even says, I don't know where you came up with that. But Liz, this is some shit, and you need to knock it the fuck off.
That's you why are I not get mad. Nice to my son.
Now, she does say something, and I kind of can see the validity in this. She says, it's all about what you want and what you want to do, and when you don't get what you want, you act like a brat.
That I will give butter.
And she that says, is true. I don't think this is true. She says, I don't believe a second that you love him because of the way you treat him. That I think Natalie did love Mike. But I think, like you said before, I think Natalie loved the idea of this.
She
big,
loved the idea.
This big America. Remember? Let's take back, everybody. Take a breath and remember. How did Natalie describe Mike 3 years ago when we first met them? She would talk about this big American wilderness man. Mm-hmm. Like this man in the
this
wilderness.
This romanticized
this
image
grizzly
of brawny
Adams,
man. The brawny man.
The brawny, yes. That would come and carry her away and take care of her and be her protector because she has trauma and she needs codependency of protection.
Right.
She needs someone who protects her and always makes her feel safe. And instead, she got the human embodiment of whatever.
I don't know.
Who always, don't you feel like Mike's underwear is always baggy?
Always.
Like it always looks overstretched.
And he's always breathing really heavy.
Yes.
He's we that should, person you sit next to.
Yeah.
That you can just hear them breathing.
Yes. So it should remind, I think we told people, by the way, in the Sissy Squad, y'all, we're not really kind of allowing, even though we brought it up, apparently that video of Mike's penis.
It's revenge porn.
It's
so we're
revenge
not allowing
porn.
Anymore and we're not talking about
even
it.
Though
we
he's,
didn't know that.
He's gross, but nobody deserves revenge yeah. porn. So we didn't know that. So that's why we're kind of halting that.
So they're basically screaming. You're exactly right about this. She romanticized. Here's what she's romanticized in her life, you guys. She's romanticized her first marriage.
Yeah.
And what she would get when, and then she started thinking about, well, maybe I need to change. Maybe I need to go outside of Ukraine. So I found this through a family friend. I found this Grizzly Adams, this brawny man who was different from me. And then, so all of these kind of fairy tales were exposed to the real cruel light of day. Her first marriage, her second marriage, which she doesn't talk about because Mike is her third marriage, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I think her second marriage, by the way, she just lightly touched on, I just got an inkling there could be possibly verbal and physical yeah, abuse.
I agree.
That is just speculation on our part. We don't have any factual information.
Well, no, that's the one she won't talk about.
Exactly. It feels traumatic.
Because we actually don't know, think about it. We know very, very little about Natalie.
Very little.
We only know her mother.
Y'all, for all we know, she could be in that fucking Scarlett Johansson Black Widow movie. We know nothing about what happened in her life.
Yeah. Like, she barely talks about her past.
Barely.
So when she came to Skvim, she noticed that this really wasn't the America, the Pacific Northwest that she imagined. She wants to be in cities.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's wanting her expectations, you guys, are to take all of the movie and TV and wrap them up and make a life of that, to piece together parts of television and film to make this dream life that she's seen about America.
And what
and
we've
that's
learned,
not what she chooses.
It's not what she chooses. And something that I think this isn't fact. However, what we've learned in what 3 years now of watching 90 Day Fiancé, on most, unless they're well-traveled, but think about it, most foreigners who haven't traveled a lot only believe their only idea of America is what they've seen in movies.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the difference of somebody like with Michael and Juliana. Juliana was a model. She had traveled. She very much knew what America was or countries where it's just it's interesting, like foreign people that come from like the Philippines have a more realistic idea of what America is.
Mm-hmm.
But in countries like where Eastern Europe
European country. At least on this show,
yeah,
those ideas are like Eastern Michael Europe, from Nigeria. It's like what America
Nigeria,
is on
even South America. You know, it's farther remote.
Yes, like Paul and Carini. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I see this on TV. That's America,
right?
And so, I you're totally right. She's
oh, it's almost like paper mache or a mosaic. She's tried to build her life of a little pieces.
She probably
of
saw
dreams.
Sleepless in Seattle.
Yeah,
she thought that like that this is by Seattle.
And normal people, you guys, understand these are imagined things, and these are fairy tales. But people like Natalie, who have a desperation level, who may not be that solid emotionally, they believe it because they have to believe it. They believe it because if they don't believe in something, they're hopeless.
And remember, again, I agree with that, because remember, I think we've kind of, it's been so long, we've been slogging with this couple. Remember the way Natalie was when we met her in Ukraine?
Yeah.
Remember how much she talked about her religion and how she held on to church and that, and she talked about Mike. She wanted him to go to church, and this was important. You're so right that Natalie,
she was trying to make him the man that she wanted him to be.
Yeah, Natalie, she can't stand on her own. She's not strong enough. She needs her mother. She needs Mike. She needs her faith.
She needs Juliana.
She needs these things to survive, or she feels like she will die on her own. So, and we see this because Butter tells her this, and basically she says, I don't believe you're it for a second. And then they
start screaming. Then Natalie
just hangs up the phone, and Mike, what happens is Mike says, okay, you want to get into it? Let's get into it. It kind of reminded me of the Joker when he was like, when Michael Keaton in Batman says, you want to get nuts? You want to get nuts?
You want to get nuts?
The thing, and he goes, let's get nuts. God, that movie's so good.
I still think that's my favorite franchise of all.
You know
of
he's
it.
Coming
it's
back. As a, you know he's coming yes. back as a Batman, right?
Yes.
Ooh, I'm very excited.
I'm
nerd, y'all. And I watched an episode of He-Man last night with the new He-Man, and it's so good on Netflix.
Okay, let's focus a little more. So then, you want to know what happened? So we had all these Christmas gifts. I gave her all of these gifts. You know what she did? She went to Juliana's house and gave them to Juliana and her kids.
And Trish is still on the phone, actually. I'm wrong. And Trish says, that shit is childish. That is, oh, what are you doing? What are you doing when you just give someone's gifts away? Now, Mike and Natalie are dealing with people who probably don't come from a lot of money. So I know that my father, if I had gotten him gifts, or if he had gotten me gifts, and I just gave away gifts to people, that would be a big trigger to him, because how my father shows love is through gifts.
Things.
So it's literally, Mike can't say this, or he's never, but that felt like she was totally saying, your love doesn't matter to me.
Right. And she might have not been wanting, she might have decided that and because Natalie's ethical rule is, no, I don't want to do this because we were having a fight and I did not need to give him this.
And we don't know why she gave that. She just says, it's true. I did this. But we don't know why she gave them the gifts. Maybe Sean Robinson will ask. We have no idea why that happened.
And I can't help but thinking it's not because Juliana's family is lacking, because they live in Seattle. So I feel like she did it out of spite. That's what my first.
And I think I think she probably did too. Cause I do think she probably didn't get what she wanted.
Maybe. Yeah.
And her idea was, instead of telling Mike, cause y'all, this is the deal. It's crazy, but it's so normal. Y'all, often what people are bitching about, what they're not getting in a relationship, is also what they're doing to someone else.
Yep.
And so Mike's big thing, Natalie, is you never communicate with me. And Natalie's big thing with Mike is you never communicate with me.
With me. Yep.
And Natalie, instead of telling him, Michael, these gifts, they're not what I, and telling him, let me let you learn about me. And I really appreciate this. But next time that, no, she just says, well, I'll give the gifts away to everybody else. It makes me look like a, Natalie's all concerned with how she's perceived. By everyone. I'll give these gifts to Natalie. She'll love me. I'll look like this good giving person, mm-hmm. but she, there's this misfire in her brain and lack of empathy of how would this make Mike feel?
Yeah, it's, I think she's also, Mike is petty, but Natalie is a different level of petty.
I agree.
And it's, and that is, and she will, she'll never own up to that part of herself.
Never. She'll never own up to anything. Natalie, y'all, part of emotional intelligence, and I know this from, I've seen this breakthrough with having to work, because sometimes it's part of therapy is owning the bad parts of, or not bad, but owning the gross parts of yourself that you don't love, but you know mm-hmm. you do, and you're not happy with it, but really yeah. owning that and really figuring out why you do it and learning why was the pattern of, Natalie can't do any of that.
No. And at the same time, the Mike's problems are all in that what Mike thinks is communication is unemotional people talking about things. Because so when someone gets emotional, Michael immediately shuts down. So yes. Mike shuts down. And
y'all look at his mother. Exactly. Who does the same thing.
Gives it right back to her. So anytime Natalie talks about how she feels, Mike doesn't understand that because that's not his currency.
And he gaslights her because guess what? His mother gaslighted and shamed him yep. for having emotions as a boy yep. probably and told him not to feel things just right. to get over it. Keep going. Eat your butter. Life's good.
That was the slogan of the butter plant. Keep going. Eat your butter. Life's good.
When Mike's father died in the butter plant, she
was burning and yearning,
dearly died.
Butter.
She okay. said, your father's dead. Let's not talk about it. Keep going, son. Get out Butter's there and play good. Some football, Mike. You're a big boy.
That is exactly what was said, father's still alive. His father's service still alive, message y'all. From Reality Gaze.
Yeah. But in our mind, he died in a butter factory.
He fell into the big butter churn, yeah. which we know is probably a vat that does that. But I really imagine it's an actual life-size churn. It's a huge.
It's got arms. It's a robot Aunt Eller from Oklahoma just churning butter.
Mm-hmm. Yearning, churning until he died. It's a big robot.
It's a big robot of Aunt Eller.
Cost them a lot of money.
That's a Rogers and Hammerstein joke. If you get it, you're one of us.
It cost them a lot of money, but they figured it was worth it.
They just converted a Bob's Big Boy to look like it, and they put it in drag.
Put a wig on Bob's Big Boy.
An old lady. So
your churning butter is my life.
So that Mike keeps saying, that's not how a wife acts when you do that.
Screaming.
And he's like, does anyone in this room disagree?
This is butter. This is all butter saying, when you get yourself a wife, Michael, you're going to find someone who treats you like I do, but you'll never find someone who's good yep. like I am.
And what is sad, what is sad that's coming out in this is Mike is really angry. Something mm-hmm. in life makes Mike really angry, and he has rage.
Scary.
And it's not even about Natalie. I don't think he's ever been able to process that rage. We don't know about Mike's father. I imagine Butter probably was not the easiest person to live with. And Mike's
understatement of the year.
But my kind of
pigs drove him off.
My therapeutic ESP tells me Mike probably doesn't have the best relationship with his dad, and he blames his mother for that a lot, but he mm-hmm. can't blame his mother because his mother is the person that's quote unquote been there for him and loved him all
yep.
along.
Yeah.
And he has conflicting emotions. So Now,
there's one little bit at, near the end.
Well, we also then find out. So finally, he's yelling at her. She hangs up. She just hangs up on Trish, which I kind of enjoy. She just clicks off. And then we find out she's like, Mike's like, why did I marry Natalie? Why did? And she says, how many nights have you stayed with me, Natalie, since Christmas? How many nights? Y'all, we think this is probably like around March.
Yeah, well, maybe a little earlier than that.
Maybe February. But, and he's like, how many nights, Natalie? She will not answer him. And he says, once. You stayed with me one night. He said, we just made love two nights ago. And you go and leave and go stay with Juliana. And
That is some shit.
That's some shit. Because Natalie's... Ooh. Because again, a lot of marriage therapists have talked about this. Y'all, men like Mike aren't able to express love affectionately. So
not at all.
A lot of women think, oh, when he has sex, it's just sex. That's not true. That probably is the way he feels connection and love when I have sex with you. And then Natalie just leaves him. And she says, well, all of my stuff is at Juliana's, my hair curlers, my eye cream, my fish, or whatever. That is very fucking cold that she can just fuck him and then go to her room.
I agree. However, if he had the communication skills to say, I understand all of that, please, can you stay here with me? I feel very emotionally vulnerable right now. He'll never be able to do that.
No, instead.
He just lets her go. He just whatevers it and stuffs it down further.
Mike, if you notice, Mike never says, he's always talking about her. He does say once, like, how do you think that makes me feel?
Right.
But he asks her to read his mind instead of saying, that makes me feel like this. And y'all, if you're in a relationship and you say to someone, how do you think that makes me feel? That's a passive aggressive dick move. Instead, you should say, Natalie,
this makes
when
me
you
feel,
made love to me and left, it made me feel blank.
Yeah.
Instead, Mike says, oh, she's a mover in her now. She's a mover in her. I don't know what mover in her is.
I never heard that expression either. But yeah, I think it's very important because Natalie expects Mike to read her mind and what she's, because she can't really explain how she's feeling when she does. And then at the same time, he doesn't validate anything.
No.
And then when he expects her to read his mind. And when he does talk about how he's feeling, he shouts at her and she shuts down and won't answer.
Exactly.
So the communication that they try to do, you guys, is completely fucked. In a technical term, their communication is fucked.
It's fucked up beyond belief. You can't tell. And he's asked this before, and Natalie has never answered him. She says, you can't tell me about me why you love me. You can never tell me why I'm important to you. Ooh. She's never been able to answer that. Never. And again, I do feel sorry for Mike because I feel sorry for both of them, and both of them are gross. Like, it's a very, I'm holding two things. Because that picture he painted of his life, he says, I do think Mike probably, whatever his job is, he works hard and he is supporting Natalie fully. And he's thinking, I come home at 5:30 and you're not even home.
Right.
And then he said this line that kind of, oh, he said, I took the vow and I meant it.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't think she meant it. And he said, there's no love for me at all.
I think the idea of Natalie actually being in her life and living her life and living in the present is completely unfamiliar to her.
Oh,
she is always living in some kind of idealized future, and this is only a step in getting there.
And I know Mike was yelling at her, which wasn't great.
No, it's terrible.
But I think if he talked to her and said these same things, there, she would still shut down and not say anything. And I think that's why he's yelling, because I bet Mike has probably said these things to her, and she just shuts down and doesn't say anything.
And I want to just say, too, there are big Natalie stans and there are big Mike stans. And I just want to say both of those explanations are too easy. This is a really rotten problem.
And they're too easy and inaccurate.
Yeah. And it's very easy. The easiest thing to say is that I feel so bad for Natalie. Mike is a gaslighter. That both those things can be true. And you can also say, I feel bad for Mike because Natalie Natalie is not emotionally present in the relationship.
And some would argue seems like a user.
Yeah.
It so seems like she's using
all him. Of those things can be true at the same time. We do not have to be team Mike or team Natalie. It is very common in our culture to do. This is a fucking roller derby.
It's not, let's cancel Mike or Natalie. Let's cancel this relationship and these two people move on. Mm-hmm. And because Natalie even ended and says, well, he never admits his fault. But again, she never admits her fault. They both never.
Yeah.
If you look back at this, y'all, and if you see this in your own relationship, I'm telling you, start talking about what I contribute or don't contribute and stop talking about what the other person doesn't do.
Yeah. And I never want to see these two ever again on television. Please.
I think we're going to see Natalie on The Single Life.
Oh.
I'm kind of here for Natalie dating in The Single Life.
Can I find the rich businessman?
It's going to be crazy because she's
not going to blink away. I think, boy, that took a while, y'all, but I think we needed to say all that.
I feel
that.
Like my father, like I just took a dump.
But I honestly feel like this was the most revealing thing. I feel like I understand them a little bit now.
I feel like I understand them a lot a bit, way more. A big breakthrough in this relationship.
We're going to talk about Jovi and Yara when we come back. But first, we're going to take a little breaky.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist? About me.
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Manny, this reminds me. You know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
We're back with Jovi Child.
Miami.
Miami.
Going to Miami. With
Jovi and Yali, they go to Miami. They go to Miami.
I mean, and golly, you would have thought, I feel like we should call Yara Yara Plain and Tall. As she's like finally got out of the prairie. And seeing the city, she's like, oh, it's so beautiful. It's so she is like, this woman has been in the house with a baby. And you feel like she's in the middle of a cabin over like a river in a swamp, the way she talks.
It is interesting being, I don't know how much Yara has seen of the U.S. It might have only been New Orleans and the Bayou.
And well, she went to Vegas for her wedding.
That's true.
And remember, though, she loved it. And when she went to Vegas, yeah. She was like,
"So, anyway,
y'all,
so
I'm telling you now, Yara's gonna win. Is gonna end up. She wants to live in Miami or LA.
They're gonna wind up. Yeah, it'll be moving to a city. She may compromise with Atlanta, but I think she'll want to be near the beach. She'll want to live in LA. I think you're right.
Maybe." Maybe like Tampa.
Maybe.
Tampa's
she'd be
pretty.
Okay with. So she said, that he's like, what, Joey's like, why are you taking so many coats? Why are you taking all those coats? And she's like, I want to be bougie. I never
Joey,
get to be bougie. Joey, here.
Let me bougie. You can be bougie. And she literally acts like I will say, y'all, we've seen their little neighborhood. It's a very cute neighborhood. It's a nice suburb. She acts like they walk outside of her front door and there's just swamp and frogs.
Yeah.
And like,
I think that's just part of her personality. That's part of the charm that, or non-charm if you don't like her. She does have her detractors, but that she just likes to, she plays at princess. I think there's a good heart in there. But I think she does. She plays the princess very well.
She does.
So she is, they're of course taking Gwen, cause Gwen's just going to be the babysitter.
I love that now she's Miss Gwen.
Miss Gwen.
Mrs. Gwen.
Mrs. Gwen. So, she even says, and this is Joby just being so immature. I won't like travel Yara back. I want Yara before she got the baby back. I want Yara to like, I want to have sex again. I want to have sex again. And basically he's like, cause that, then we can start to work on our problems. You know?
Yeah. I mean, look, I do think there's a little bit, I 100% agree with you. Joby's being immature. And I'm kind of like, you're a dad now.
He's a mama's boy. So,
you're a dad now and you're married. Grow the fuck up. Now, that said, it's been weird because Yara has grown so much because Yara has been there the whole time.
Right.
Whereas Jovi goes to work for 3 months and it's like he hasn't had the time to grow with them. And honestly, they need to work that out of if this is going to continue to be his job, and I think it will be for a long time, they need to figure this out because this is going to be
their new normal of Yara can kind of continue to build and make this life for herself. And then someone leaves for 2 or 3 months and then they have to step back into this.
And what for him, you see it from his perspective, is he goes off to work. There's not a lot of play. He has his 2 months or whatever it is. And then comes back and the rest of the time is vacation. That's how he's always lived.
Yes. And that's very true. He thinks life should be vacation. That's a good point.
And so it is weird to have his kind of like, I have a friend who's a travel nurse. And this is like, well, friend.
Oh.
And he works.
From Grinder.
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 He works really hard for a while and then has time off. Or sometimes flight attendants will do this. And sometimes, especially the younger ones, their life is vacation. And you work and you work and you work. Mm-hmm. Then you have 2 or 3 weeks and it's just vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And for Jovi, that's what it's always been. You work maybe 9, 8 weeks, 2 months. That's a hard work with not a lot of breaks in between.
No
drinking, no nothing, no everything. And then you get, 2 months off? And it's just party.
Yeah.
So it's a hard transition to make if you've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
So I get it. At the same time, though, you're a dad and they need to have the conversation. I bet his father was the same way.
That's what I was just about to ask. I wonder what his own father was like, because it's not like this is a new life for him. He grew up with this. He's seen this. But it's weird. He grew up as a kid with his father going away. And so he kind of knows. It's like he forgets what the other side of that is like.
Yeah.
When you weren't working. When you're in normal life and having to have a dad come in and out.
And it's unfortunate that the way Yara tries to communicate with him with this is not see it my side. But it's more complaining. Look what you left me, and now I'm here. And he's like, I had to leave you because I had to earn money for otherwise I wouldn't have any money for the baby. You know, so there's not a lot of, number one, you guys, these people don't have problems compared to other people in the NIDA universe. These are easy, workable problems that you can do with some marriage counseling and a good night of like banging once a week.
Yeah.
But they don't really effectively communicate either.
Which, so. And this goes back to y'all. I mean, this is something that, I've talked about this book, The Passionate Marriage, and the therapist who has a horrible name is Snarch is talked about.
Wow. That's bad.
It's bad.
But Snarch?
Snarch. Yeah.
Snarch.
But here's the deal, y'all. Look, I don't want to. I'm not taking this men are from Mars. Not that type of bullshit. It's more about conditioning of what men and women, at least straight cis men and women, are able. Those which are the majority of people in the world right now.
Yeah,
and what the roles they're taught to play. And look. Men are conditioned in this society that, again, it's what we talked a little bit about Mike and Natalie. Jovi wants to have sex with Yara, and we kind of all say, oh, he's a dog. He just wants to have sex. But really, that is the only time men are able to
be
very expressive and sometimes even soft and emotional and share love with someone. Mm-hmm. And I do think at the end of the day, this is about Jovi wants to feel seen, and he feels like he lost his wife to be a mother.
To be a mom, yeah.
And he can't communicate that. He's just saying, I want fun Yara back. Actually, I think what he wants is he wants to be seen by Yara and feel like he's... And I know that a lot of women listen to this, and you want to say, well, fuck him. She's doing everything. She's raising the child. She moved. Yes. Yes, she did all this. And if you want your marriage to work and you both to feel like you're loved and appreciated, it's just part of it. It's just part of it. It's the way Jovi needs to figure out if he's going to be gone and he comes back of how do I support Yara when I'm gone? How do I make her feel like Right. She's important to me. They both just want to feel important to one another, and that's it. Yeah.
And they haven't yet figured out a way to do it with his job and with the stress and being a mom when he's away and COVID and all this. I think it was interesting. We did start to see a little bit of the kind of fun Yara after when they're going off and she's on vacation. So you start
y'all,
to Jovi understand.
Literally just throws the baby to his mother and is like, here you go.
Take Mila. We'll be back in 3 days. So they're in the, on the way down there and they're, and she's like, Yara says, I need to find something old and rich in Miami. I like that. Cause we've forgotten Yara's very dry, funny. And, yes. And Jovi is too, to an extent. So you understand why they're together. So
yes.
She's like, Florida, do I have swamp? And she's like, he's like, well, Florida does have a swamp. And she's like, Florida swamp is better.
Florida swamp is better. And so, whereas Jovi's saying, instead of being a mom, she's a grandma. She goes, wake up at 5 a.m. We go to sleep at 7:30. And I love that Yara says, I'm just so excited to go to Miami. Y'all, again, this is what Poodle and I were talking about. She thinks Miami is the actual Will Smith Miami video.
Yeah.
It's
with
just
Snoop Dogg smoking out to a Cadillac. It's just and a girls convertible.
You're driving. There's women with big tits and bikinis just shaking their tits. There's
it's
guys.
It's not far
just,
from it, though. It's not far from that.
I've never been to Miami, so I don't know.
It's not far from it. I've only been to the airport, so I can't really say anything.
Oh, so we have no idea where to go. I want to go.
Live shows in Miami, y'all. I might never come back.
Ooh, you're going to have to triple on prep. It's going to be a lot of Latin raw dogging for you.
Do you have a Cuban formula, perhaps?
You're going to need it.
Specifically for that?
Y'all, because Cuban dick?
Ooh, it's up there.
Ooh.
It's up there. Ooh.
Mm.
Ooh. Yikes.
Mm.
So they're basically, she's got this like cute little purple and pink, purplish pink dress.
She looks
like,
great.
Do I look like stripper? No, you look good. You
look
really good.
You look good.
You look good. So it's their first date night in forever. And he's like, well, maybe it's not. We can have sex again. We can have sex. I'm really excited about having sex with Yara. And so she of course falls asleep in the car because that's a very mom thing to do, because it's almost like if you guys ever had these where you have like 3 or 4 busy days and you're like, oh, finally a day of vacation. I can do some stuff for myself. And you're because a big stressor isn't there, immediately your body goes,
that's actually a good sign that she's sleeping. She's relaxing.
Yeah.
You know what? Veronica from Veronica and Tim told me this on Instagram the other day, because y'all, we talked to her a little bit and she's totally right. Your Jovi kind of sounds like Tim.
It kind of does, but it's not as low as Tim is.
Oh, that's true. That is Tim, yeah.
Tim, Jovi's more up here, and I'm talking about Yara, and he's always smiling. He's always like, yeah, I told Yara that like we got to take Mila to go to Mama.
Oh, they're both so funny on Pillow Talk. Y'all, if you're not following her on Instagram, you're missing out. She's great.
She loves. Anyway. She's promoting her lady toys.
Oh yes,
and empowerment.
Sex positive.
I love it.
Love it.
She should. Lady toys. Toys for your lady.
Yes.
So they are.
So yeah. So they're going to the car and they're going to go have dinner and drinks on like a rooftop and
And Joey's like, tell me I'm right. This is a great idea, right? This is a great idea.
And Yara's like, no, I just worry about... And she calls her daughter a little bun. It's so cute.
And he was like, I love Yara. He's kind of looking at her. He's had drinks probably before they went. He kind of looks at her like this. And she's like, are you fucking drunk?
Are you fucking drunk, Jovi?
It's like,
No, not drunk.
Are you? He's like me after I've not had like 3 vodkas and I'm like, no, I'm fine. And I start to look a little, you can tell.
Yeah. The day goes well, but then at night, y'all, he's getting drunk. I think she's had a little bit to drink too, not like Jovi, but you can tell they both had a little bit to drink.
She's trying to check in on Mila.
And she's checking on Mila, and Jovi starts, that's where Jovi goes.
Using Mila to like not pay attention to me.
I mean, it's...
Which is ridiculous. But like, that he's just, this is the closest to Jovi saying exactly how he feels.
He's
though.
Still talking around it, but he isn't saying like, "Hey, basically, he wants to know, are you still into me? Do you still love me?" Like, but y'all, because I think Jovi is, I think he's a confident guy in one way, but come on, look at Yara and way she is. Like, he's always not. Feels like he's probably very lucky to be with her, and that she could drop him at any minute.
I think what she's attracted to is the idea that Jovi could handle her cutting expression, and Jovi could clap back a little bit.
I think they think they both make each other laugh. I really think that's a big thing
that's
for
what
them.
It is.
And remember, y'all, when they met, Jovi talked about there was a bang trip, and then they fought for a little bit, and then they were kind of like, "Oh, we like each other." It's very much
good sex.
That is their relationship, though. It's a little bit of you tease me, I tease you, but there's a lot of love underneath.
I get those kind of relationships. Those are kind of the ones that I prefer to have. And then it usually ends in throwing things when things don't go well.
So that's not the kind of relationship.
Or the cops coming.
We don't want that.
No, I don't want those.
No, and so, but Yara says, she's like, Jovi, she said, she's like, you need to do more. You're a father and a husband now, and you need to do more. And she says, I just need to be appreciated.
Yeah.
And Jovi, I get it. I understand. He's got, I didn't know we were going to have a wife. And then a week later we find out we're pregnant.
Yeah.
And I get it.
The most revelatory he's being, he's been.
It's hard because I get why he feels all that. And again, he's been gone, so it's still new to him. But you're also kind of like, your baby's like 6 months old. Like, get the fuck over it. Like, it's here.
I go out and back between those two things too. And constant reality checks and kind of being in the present and not wishing for the old Yara or I can't wait till we get to go on vacation again. He doesn't live.
He's in the past.
Yeah,
still.
We were talking about Natalie. And he either lives, Natalie always living in the future tense. I will do this. I can't wait to where I can do this. And Jovi is living in the past or can't wait till get back to vacation. So his present isn't very attractive. Yeah. But then, so it basically ends up with her going, and I'm over this. I'm so over this. I'm going to go back and talk to Mila. Go see how Mila is. And it's over. And Jovi's like, I'm over it too.
And she's like, I don't want to fight. He's like, You started it.
Yeah.
And they leave. It looks like next week they're at a strip club and y'all.
I think it's
good.
Next week.
Yeah. Doesn't go good.
Boy, I feel like production said, How about a trip to a strip club? And Joe was like, And Yara's like, fine, if we have to. Yeah, this is totally production pushed this trip. There's no way Yara would initiate this.
I'm telling
this.
You, if I was a mother and I just 3 months prior had a baby and I still had like milk in my boobs, my body didn't feel like mine, the last place I would go with my husband is a strip club.
I agree, which is why I think it was production initiated.
Let's talk about Brandon and Julia.
We are y'all, it's moving day, Auntie Shrew.
It is moving day. And Julia is so helpful packing.
How am I helpful, TV?
She just wants to play with her dog, Simba. And Brandon is trying to get her to help. And the only thing I could notice is, y'all, Brandon has a jug behind his head.
I'm so glad you noticed this that said money for Lamborghini. How old are you?
Like, I'm hoping.
I had a Lamborghini poster because I thought in my room because I thought that was what boys did.
Same. Did have a girl on it, too.
No, it just had a car. Yeah. I didn't want that car.
I don't want a Lamborghini. You can't.
I wanted a Geo Tracker, y'all, because it looked cute.
My brother had a Geo Tracker. Anyway, y'all, you can't fuck in a Lamborghini.
Y'all, every boy thought they were supposed to put a Lamborghini on their wall of their bedroom. That's
they did.
What we
it's right
we
by my picture, my poster of Kathy Ireland. So, y'all, here's the deal.
Wow.
Here is the deal, is that
you think it was just change? Do you think it was just change and like it was just the parents kept that in there the whole time?
So that's what either this needs to be like from when he was 13 years old and it's still there. Or
maybe it's got all his money in it.
If it's here as an adult, then Brandon's got some, he might want to process that.
I cackled when I saw it.
I did too.
I guess what's over there next? You're Monchichi?
Maybe. Maybe. And it's, you know,
it's next to the protein powder that he keeps on his, shelf.
I wonder if it's a cultural thing. Cause what this kind of to put a button on the kind of what the conflict comes in this is basically Julia's argument is Brandon says, well, this is hard for me to leave home. Whereas Julia's argument is this is not your home. It's your parents' home.
Right.
So, now,
I don't know if this is her or Russian. I mean,
I don't know.
I know in Latin American culture, you stay with your parents until you get married.
Yes. So and I know in some houses, like my boyfriend was raised more like this is my house and I'm letting you live here. Like you live here now.
Really?
There's a lot of parenting that take this stance of not in a mean way, but just kind of like this is.
But he was military and he grew up, so he probably grew up moving.
But it's kind of the expectation. Yeah, it's different.
He doesn't call one house home.
But I do have other friends where their parents, their father and parents were kind of like, we love you. This is your home. We love it. But when you get older and you go to college and move out, you need to get your home because this is our home. We're letting you live here.
Yeah.
And
I guess I never thought about it. I think my parents' house.
My parents were not that way at all.
But I it's never that I asked to move back in and I never really thought I would, but it was always like, no, come stay. You can stay in your, come home and see people.
Yeah.
And you can stay at your, what are you looking at?
Sorry, I heard the door. I'm just making sure, see who's here.
Y'all, there's nothing more nerve-wracking when someone is turning and looking at a door and you're talking to them.
Well, I was talking earlier and you're looking above because your neighbor is stomping around. And you did the same thing.
It sounded like she's been opening and closing a cash register. Anyway, so he says, she says, this is not your home. And I think this is just, I don't know if this is common, but I guess he is old enough, but this is the first time he moved out with his friends for a little while, but it is his home. And it is it's very insensitive for her not to, just because she wants to get out of it. She's being very immature by saying, no, we're going to get out. We're never going to come back again. And he's like, yeah. And he's even saying things like, yeah, when I have some food for Sunday dinner. And she's like,
it's very,
yes, Julia, you're going to have to go back to the farm occasionally to see your husband's parents.
Parents that are your like, this just has to happen, girl.
Yeah. This is dumb. This whole thing is dumb. So she is, he's actually crying. He's tearing up a little bit because he's moving. Because he's attached to the teat. He's attached to both of his parents. And she's like, and we're never going to come back to a farm. And so the parents are asking, are you excited to move out? And he's like, I guess. And Julie goes, I guess.
I guess. Because Betty and Donnie even said, well, maybe one day you can come back and you can pass down to your
kids
children
and their kids can do that.
And Julia it cuts to her confessional and she's just making dollar signs saying, we going to sell and we buy a nice house with pool. It's easy.
I think that's discounting what her husband wants.
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up because I have a theory about that.
Yeah. And so I think, I hate to tell her, but her magic vagina will only last out for so long for getting him to make tons of decisions.
Well,
she wants to do everything.
Well, I wrote, you know, Betty is crying and she's saying it's sad. And this Betty says, which is kind of her issue to work through. She's like, I'll never lose the little boy in my heart. And I get that, but maybe that's why she's babied him so much. And so, whereas Julia's like, y'all, Julia kind of makes a good point when she says, It's 35 minutes away. I flew 17 hours from my family.
No, that's fair.
He's 35 minutes. And Betty's like, well, 35 minutes is a long way. And they're acting. And Brandon is too. They're all kind of acting. And I think maybe this is why Julia is being so hard. Mm-hmm. They're all kind of acting like he's making the biggest sacrifice in the world.
Yeah.
Now, I get it. You're sad. You're leaving your home. Y'all, she left her fucking country and everything she knows with like two fucking suitcases.
Right.
And moved to be with him. So
I understand that. But I think for some people, that could be a lot easier than leaving to go to 35 minutes away. I don't want to weight anyone's pain over anyone else's.
I don't think it was easy for Julia, though. Because we've seen when she talks to her parents in the wedding, like she always cries when she talks to her parents.
I agree with you. I think
that's why she's a little. Ugh.
I guess it's trying to wedge her own issues in with theirs.
Well,
saying I did this, you should be able to do that.
Well, I have a theory. This is my theory, y'all. And he's already said this, y'all. We have to remember what they said when we first saw them. Brandon has said he doesn't want the farm.
Yeah,
Brandon doesn't want the farm. He does. I think this is all just produced. He doesn't want to stay there. He loves his parents. Y'all, I think Brandon wants to get the fuck out and his hot wife and loudly where he can like have her strap him to a bed and she can pour candle wax on his dick and ride him like a pony.
That sounds really painful. No one should pour candle wax on anyone's dick.
While they listen to a Genuine song. I'm telling you.
My pony. Then they say, yeah, well, we found someone to help out, but they only can do it Monday through Friday. And Brandon's like, I'll help you on Sundays or weekends. And Julie's like, what?
Y'all, he doesn't want to help them on the weekends. He doesn't want to do that.
Yeah. I think he was feeling a little guilty. But
I think
it was all production?
Either it was production or Brandon's putting it on to get sympathy.
Possibly.
I think he has no fucking desire to live at this farm.
So they're leaving everyone's, and so then they're getting into their place.
Don, I just want to say Don is such a dad when they're moving out. Okay, everybody, let's just have a staging area. We'll move everything and it was such a dad.
And mom's just sitting up there on the counter, just like looking in cabinets going,
I could see I could see your dad being like, okay, friend, let's move everything.
Put this right here. You're going to put the boxes here. my father would say, I think I'll let you do it. He would not want to. Yeah. So mom's critiquing everything. And then Ron, because we're back in 1950s, like, better get used to saying, yes, honey, that will go there because you're a man because you have no choice in the house.
No choice.
He
even says, they're talking, he and Betty are talking to Cameron. He's like, you know, we lost Brandon to Julia. I think she's always going to pick he's going to pick Julia over us. And did you hear Betty said, well, we'll see what happens down the road.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I think they're going to be fine. All of their arguments are going to be about, now that they're out of the parents' house, all of their arguments now are going to be about money. Welcome to the rest of their season.
Yeah, welcome to the rest. I agree with that.
It's going to all be about money, either things that she wants and him saying, I can't. The thing is, Julia thinks that the problem with Brandon was just his parents' influence.
No, nope, girl.
He's like his parents.
He's like
That's
his
the
parents.
Problem.
Yep.
You thought you married someone who...
She thought she married Vacation Brandon.
Yeah, and guess what? You basically married a male version of Betty. So get ready for that to show up.
Get the fuck ready.
So it's going to be, Julia's going to have some, just like those fights Julia had with Brandon and the friends are coming over next time. Julia's crazy jealous side's going to come out again.
Yep.
And it's every situation we're going to have. Hopefully they don't participate too much longer in the Nida universe is going to be fucking with Julia. every single storyline from now on, because Julia being jealous, Julia wanting money. It's
Lock the door.
I think she's she can be very funny.
I do too.
However, I think that funny goes away when you realize, oh, that's just her her personality is very extreme.
Yeah. I think when we first met her, you know, like Yara, because they both were, you can't help not compare them because they're both young, similar cultures, and they both were on their first season was that season. You're so right that Yara is in on the joke and she gets when she's being sarcastic.
Yeah,
Julie, and we thought Julia was that way. No, that is just her. Julia, and she's not trying to be funny. She's just Julia. She's a little oblivious, head in the sand.
Yeah. Just like her on that tell-all. She was just like, and everyone was like, did Bish really say that?
Yara's going to read her again. I'm so excited.
Well, now we've got fucking Angela.
Oh, God.
Who is she going to shout over? That's the show.
That's the show. You can go to realitygazepodcast.com. Hey, we appreciate it so very much. If you haven't left a review for the show, give us 5 stars and go on there. It helps us if you write something. If you don't know what to write, just write. Keep going, Queens. We appreciate it very much. Find us on Cameo. You can find us on the Twitter. See our memes that our sissy Christina makes at Reality Gaze Podcast.
I got my first Dee Dee Rivette Cameo request today.
Oh, pull out that wig.
We haven't seen Dee Dee in so long. She hasn't advertised in a while. I think she's going on a QAnon rally.
I wish she could do it like in like a storage unit that's like a stock room. You know, she just keeps her stuff there at Prime.
She's made her QAnon bunker.
Maybe she could do it from like her closet or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know. Her fallout shelter.
Fallout shelter. So y'all, come at us with all of those things. We love you and appreciate y'all. We're heading into August, so
Jesus.
We want to send love out to our teacher sissies, to our parents with kids going back. We know that the stressor of school coming back for everyone.
Yeah.
We're thinking of you. We're sending you our love, and we're just going to remind you to keep going, queen.
Keep going, queens, especially teacher queens.
Yes. Find us in the sissy squad. We have fun in there.
Facebook group. We got groups like Sissies Who Teach.
Yes, we do have groups, Sissies Who Teach. Also, our Fisher House, we want to remind you that's the charity that we're raising money for. So if you're in the Facebook group, you'll see the announcements. You can read all about that and donate there. And on that note, Poodle, we call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places?
Yes. And if your son still got that money for Lamborghini jar in his bedroom, put a couple dollars in there and then call us.
Poodle, I need to talk to you about something that happened at our New York live show.
The line designer said it was his first time and that his wife didn't care.
No, Poodle. It's just that people are talking about your outfit from the show.
Oh, yes. My corset that I bought online that was specially made for my body. It accentuated my creamy shoulders and gave me a waist cinched for the gods.
Well, also, I don't know how to say this, but some sissies said their male husbands noticed your
caboose. Men flock to my posterior. It makes sense.
No, the other side. They noticed your junk.
Oh, my.
And apparently there was some jealousy. I can't believe I'm talking about this. But some men said you looked very junk forward, and some male sissies in the audience were a little jealous.
Well, they should be. I bring the heat. Well, if I'm honest, Maddie, I've got a little secret.
Oh, I know you banged the guy that organizes your building's trash bins.
How dare you mention Orlando? I can neither confirm nor deny. No, Maddie, I mean, those male sissies don't need to be jealous at all. Well, maybe a little jealous. But they, too, can be junk forward like me. My secret is that I wear the contoured pouch and ball caddy from MeUndies.
The contoured pouch and ball caddy?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy. Not only is MeUndies underwear comfortable and breathable, but it also makes my junk look huge!
MeUndies, who knew?
Yes, and MeUndies has looks for all types of people. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small through 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
Oh, and I do know that MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Their lounge collection is incredible, featuring joggers, hoodies, and onesies, and more. And it is unmatched comfort because MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
Well, not only are they cozy, but MeUndies uses sustainably sourced materials and works with partners that care for their workers. And if you're not happy with your first pair of MeUndies, it's on MeUndies.
Well, Poods, now that I'm living the single life like Nuttily, I need to advertise. I'm getting some MeUndies.
I don't want to hear about your sex life on the podcast. Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.